Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Or you can go to paulsevangel.com. They both take you to the same place. You can go there and get all the wonderful little treats we have for you, the Concordant Literal New Testament.
Treats. You have treats.
Concordant, as you see, Martin's still with me. Concordant Literal New Testament, the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. And you can get even a book by the fellow sitting next to me, Martin Zender, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And we've been talking about sin here.
And I don't smoke, by the way. I have other bad habits. You want me to go into them?
No, we don't want to go through them here. This program is only 18 hours long, so we don't want to just cover one hour of your life.
This is my last day in Chicago. It's my last day in Chicago, so I'm a little sad about it.
A little sad, your last day.
Beautiful city, a beautiful place.
Well, since you are departing, we're going to wrap up our week of sin and evil with a comment. First, I'm going to quote to you from Ephesians, because I want to wrap this up. And I want to wrap it up on a positive note, because that's how the universe is wrapped up. Every good movie.
A positive note?
Yes, it does.
Wait a minute. That's not what they told me.
That's you got the wrong information.
They told me that the universe was going to end in an eternal cauldron of chaos. There's going to be a sector of the universe reserved as a boiling, eternal cauldron of evil where all the bad people are going to go that Christ couldn't save.
It doesn't work out that
You're
way at all.
Me.
As a matter of fact, the ending is good, just like any good movie. Ephesians 1, verse 10 and 11. I want to read you this in verse 11, actually, in the Concordant version. It says, In him in whom our lot was cast also, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. I want to point out that he is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. And that means that sin, as we've been discussing in this last week and a half here, is not going to mess up God's purposes. Sin has not messed up God's plans. It will not mess up God's plans. As a matter of fact, without sin, there would be no Savior. God has worked out every detail of this universe to end up to His glory. And how is this universe going to end up is the question. Where are we going? What is the outcome of infinite grace?
That is a question people need answered in their mind. What bigger question could we be entertaining today? So, does good or evil win?
Does good or evil win? And the answer is the good wins. That's just a basic statement, the good wins. Good will triumph over evil. And we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 15, because I think this is the most important passage. Now, we have been talking in this program here about God's present dealings with mankind in grace through the evangel that God committed to Paul. What we have not gone into on this program, how there are different time periods in scriptures called eras and eons. And there's an eon to come and an eon of the eons called the new heavens and new earth, where certain things are going to be going on earth and certain things are going to be going on in heaven. And we haven't gone into all those details. We will get into those details in the future, but for now I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28, and this is our topic of conversation for today. Yet now, verse 20, Christ has been roused from among the dead, the first fruit of those who are reposing. That word repose means to sleep. And what happens when you fall asleep?
You're not aware of time.
Aware of time, and one day you're going to wake up. For since, in fact, through a man came death. Who's the man?
Adam.
Through a man also comes the resurrection of the dead. Who's that?
Christ.
For even as in Adam all are dying. Now I want you to notice what it says. For even as in Adam all are dying. Now, I'm going to make a concession here, that the word all does not always mean all things at all times and all places, correct?
That's right.
Paul said that Tychicus was going to make known all things.
It's all context.
It's all in the context, but you cannot get out of all in this passage. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. What's the context here?
Everyone who is dying in Adam.
Now, I want you to notice what it doesn't say. Here's what religion teaches. For as and even as in Adam all are dying, thus also those who are in Christ as believers shall all be vivified.
They have to twist it to say that.
It doesn't say that. For even as in Adam all are dying, how many of you had a choice to be in Adam? How many had a choice? The answer is no one had a choice. Even so, or thus also, see, same way, in Christ shall all be vivified. And you and I have nothing to say in either case. Now here he continues, yet each in his own class. There's a vivification coming, but it's in classes. Christ the first fruit was first. He was the first one to be vivified. And for those of you who don't know the Concordant version, the word vivify, arouse, and resurrection are very important distinctions. And there's a booklet by A. Enoch I suggest you all get, which we have available. If you want the booklet, it's called Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality. It's a great book you need to get, and it distinguishes between these Greek words. But vivification, to be plain and simple, is life and resurrection without ever dying again. You know, Lazarus was...
Right, Lazarus was resurrected, but not vivified.
He died again. All right, so, yet each in his own class. The first fruit, Christ. Thereupon those who are Christ in his presence. Thereafter, the consummation. So you see the three classes? Christ first. Second class, those who are Christ in his presence. And even that vivification there is in two stages.
Mm-hmm.
And then... thereafter, the consummation. The consummation of what? The consummation of this action. What's being consummated? The vivification.
Through Christ.
One, a two, and finally three. Right? When does this consummation take place? Whenever he may be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, whenever he should be nullifying all sovereignty and all authority and power, for he, Christ, must be reigning until he shall be placing all his enemies under his feet. And I'm going to say something. If you're a Christian and you've been going to church all your life, this is going to sound blasphemous. But here it is. As long as Jesus Christ is king and reigning on a throne, we have not reached the end. Did you hear that? As long as Jesus Christ is reigning on a throne, we have not reached the end. Kingship and authority always presupposes sin, always presupposes distance. And for the next two eons, the millennium and new heavens and new earth, Jesus Christ is still going to be king on his throne. He's going to be priest during the millennium. He's going to be king for the millennium and the new heavens and new earth. And he goes on. The last enemy is being abolished, death. For he subjects all under his feet. Now, whenever he may be saying that all is subject, it is evident that it is outside of him who subjects all to him. Now, whenever all may be subjected to him that is Christ, then the Son himself also shall be subjected to him who subjects all to him, that God may be all in all. So this is how it's going to work. Christ rose from the dead. And there's coming a day for the church, which is his body, will be vivified in Christ's presence. That event is described in 1 Thessalonians 4.
Right.
Then, a part of that second class are going to be another company of believers who will be vivified, as we're going to read, in the former resurrection.
That would be the apostles, Daniel, King David.
Right.
The Israel saints.
The Israel saints. And then... all the rest of mankind will be vivified at the end when Christ delivers up the kingdom to his God and Father.
You did say all the rest of mankind.
All the rest of mankind. I said all the rest of mankind. It includes Hitler, Stalin, Mother Teresa, and all your mothers and fathers and grandmas and grandpas who did not believe in Christ. Why? Because even as in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, and it's not of works. You know, people reject to the idea that Jesus Christ is going to save all mankind. You know why that is? Because they're self-righteous. They actually, you know, our friend Tony Nungesser once wrote to somebody, he says, when God saves all of mankind, I sure hope you won't get too mad that he did it.
Well, that hits home. It's going to hit home to a lot of people, probably.
Can you imagine that? People are actually mad listening to this program because we suggested, just by reading Scripture,
right,
that God is going to save all mankind. You know why they're mad? Because they think that they made a wise choice. They did something that those ungodly sinners didn't do, and they're thinking right now their universe will never be happy unless God is going to punish
you
somebody.
You mean those sinners are going to be where I am for eternity?
That's
and
the attitude.
And yet, we were all once considered sinners. God had a monumental event in our life that turned our mind around. It caused us to repent, to change our mind about sin. What caused this event in our lives? A tragedy, a shock, some sort of thing God used. What is to prevent God from using a similar shock, a similar event, to turn someone's heart to faith? Faith is necessary. We're not saying it's not, but faith is a gift of God, and God will one day give faith to all. If he doesn't, then the verse you just read, Dan, that he's a savior, that he's in the end of time, the fullness of times, God's going to be all in all. The only way that can happen is if he gives faith to all. Mm-hmm. And Romans 12:3 says that faith is a gift.
Yes. Philippians 1, Ephesians 2, the Gospel of John, everywhere faith is a gift. People believe because God grants them the ability to believe. And for those who are in Christ today, if you're a believer in the evangel of grace, guess who you have to thank
for it? And you thank God for it.
You thank God for it. And if you're not a believer, it's not your time.
And if you believe today, you have more than someone who does not believe today. There's a difference between those who believe now and those who will believe later. This is not the only era of grace. It's an era of grace. It's a day of salvation, but it's not the day of salvation. You have so much more. You will be ruling and reigning with Christ. You will live through the thousand years. You will live to the new heavens and the new earth. Other people will be dead during that time because God did not give them faith yet. So if you believe today, thank God, you do have more. But this does not prevent God from graciously granting at a later time to those what you have now.
And in closing, 1 Timothy 4, and Mark and I can say amen to this. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome. You should welcome this statement. If you're a believer, you should welcome this. For this saying, are we toiling and being reproached?
True enough, I toiled
for this message.
That's right.
And we've been reproached for it. And here it is, that we rely on the living God. See, he's the living God. Idols don't teach this. False gods don't teach this.
Right.
Only the one true and living God teaches salvation. For we rely on the living God who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. Believers have a special salvation today.
You have more if you believe today, and thank God for it.
Well, Martin, it's been a good time.
Yes,
we've been talking about sin. We saw how it affects the individual person, the believer. And we saw its role in God's aeonian purpose.
We traced it to its source, and we followed it to its elimination from God's universe.
What an exciting topic. Well, you want this book by Martin Zender, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette, go to martinzender.com and go there to his website, sign up for his newsletter. Go to crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com for the concordant version, the concordant commentary, and other materials. Listen to these programs for free. You want to keep this program running, help us out. Cross and Throne Ministries, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois 60073. And we have a conference coming up September 18th through the 20th in Chicago. Come up to this. See Martin and I and some other friends as we teach this truth. We're also going to be in Amarillo, Texas, October 9th through 11th. And Martin, give the closing words.
Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you.